Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30. People say, how long does that service go? I say, well, I aim for 12, but my aim is bad. So anyway, we would like to encourage you, if you do not have a church home, I don't think I can stress in strong enough terms how much you need one. I was having a conversation recently with a minister friend of mine that I don't get to see very often, and we were talking about, you know, if we're not in the end times, we are certainly in a warm-up act, if you will, a trial run. Things in the world are all in place should the Father lean over to the Lord Jesus Christ at any time and say, go get your bride. You don't want to be on the outside looking in. There's not going to be, well, I'll have time from the word go. My son at one point in time was in a situation, and they received instructions to be at a certain place at a certain time. You know, the directions could come at any moment, and it was like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours before it actually happened. People who were experienced, they knew about the lag time between the time the directive was given and the actual fulfillment. Well, when the Father leans over, he's not going to tell Jesus twice. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. And in the meantime, things in this world continue to progress according to biblical instruction. And so you really need a body of believers to gather around where you can grow in your faith. You can be blessed by the life experiences, the grace that God has manifested in other people's lives, and the grace that God has manifest in your life can be on benefit of them as well. So come out and see us Sunday morning. It'd be an honor to serve the living Lord with you. So we are going back to Ezekiel 37 today. Ezekiel 37, in verse number 4, it says, this is Ezekiel talking about the prophecy that God, or the mandate that God has given him. It says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So we're going to stop there. We're not going to get through all of that, and so we'll pick up verse number 11 whenever we get there. If you go back and look at verses 1 through 3, you will see that God has been speaking to Ezekiel. He starts speaking to him, and the question is, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel's answer was, "O Lord God, you know." Ezekiel says that he had been compelled or caused by God to walk around this valley that was filled with dry bones. There were a lot of them, and indeed they were very dry. He's assessed the situation, and then God asked him, "Is there anything that can be done in this situation?" And Ezekiel's reply is, "God, you know." There's an expression, "God only knows." Well, I want you to know that, again, when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's wanting you to assess the situation so that you will know what the circumstances are. And so when Ezekiel says, "God, only you know what you are going to do in this situation," it is beyond human history at that point in time for bones that had been exposed. The bodies were in decay. There was no life in them. There was nothing in the history of mankind that said that there was anything positive that could come out of that situation. And so when Ezekiel says, "God, only you know what you want to do in this situation," that sets him up for the next instruction from the Lord that God has for him. And so until you and I have done what we are expected to do with the revelation that God has given to us, then we're not ready for the second step in the process when we haven't taken the first step yet. And so you have to take that first step. You know, I've watched my kids grow. I'm watching my grandkids go. And a lot of times that first step is the one that is the most uncertain. Once they get that first step in, then all of a sudden the progress begins to pick up. And so the second direction or order from the Lord, God says, "I want you to speak to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." You say, that's going to make Ezekiel look very foolish. Well, only in the eyes of men, not in the eyes of God. I remember when I was in high school. Now, I tell people, we lived in the country. You could see civilization from where we lived, but that was about it. And the reason that I say that is it was a mile walk for me to get to my bus stop. And so on the way home from riding the bus, I would stop at the pasture. There was literally a horse pasture right next door to where my family lived. And there was a horse that would meet me there. And he would come over, not my horse. But I would have been at youth group recently and would have learned a song. And the horse and I, we would stand there and we would sing on a road that was not without traffic. I mean, the road that passed in front of our house was used as one of those milestone markers. Every road was a mile apart, so the city was set up in a grid pattern. And so to get, you know, from civilization to the next branch of civilization, you'd go by my house. So I'd stand there, and the horse and I, we would have a little worship service. He would be the congregation. I'd be the person leading the songs, and that might look foolish to people who are driving by. But it set the stage for the next. Well, God, what do you want me to do next? Ezekiel is being positioned with a divine mandate from God to speak to the most unlikely of audiences to see change. If they were going to see change, it was going to be decay. Everything that was around them had already seen the vitality literally stripped from their existence. So if there was going to be any transformation at all, it was generally going to be downhill. Until God speaks to Ezekiel, speaks to a person who's willing to have a dialogue with him, willing to be positioned by God, willing to be used by God, and God says, I want you to prophesy. Prophesy is not just speaking to the situation. It is speaking what God wants you to speak to the situation, to call them back from a level of spiritual deadness into a condition of spiritual vitality, back from being alienated from God, back into fellowship with God. And so he says, I want you to say to them, O dry bones. Please understand, he is not minimizing the condition that the bones are in. He is not denying reality. He speaks to them in their current condition, and he says to them, and there's no evidence that there were any physical ears placed, so this is a spiritual hearing that is taking place, and he says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. I don't know if you have ever been in a situation with a person who would not listen. And if they would only take time to listen, their situation or circumstance might change. Hearing what God has to say is more important than hearing what the multitude of humanity has to say. I'll say that again. Hearing what God has to say is more important than hearing what the multitude of humanity has to say. When Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a good report, there were other spies who gave a bad report, and when Joshua and Caleb tried to push back against the bad report, everybody in the congregation of Israel began to drown them out. When Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, and he began to speak things that God had laid upon his heart to say, they literally stopped their ears and they rushed on him. They wanted to silence him as quickly as possible. We are living in a modern society where there is less and less tolerance for hearing what God and God's word has to say about something. And the only positive change that can take place is getting back to the Bible, getting back to what God's word has to say. He's the only one who can change a spiritual condition of dryness. He's the only one who can change a spiritual condition of disconnectedness. He is the only one who can transform a spiritual condition of decay and turn it into vibrant, healthy, united, structured cohesiveness for his glory. And so it starts with an instruction to the prophet to prophesy in this condition that looks completely hopeless. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy to them. And this is what I want you to say. Thus says the Lord to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now, this is the second time that the word cause is used here in this passage. There are three times. It's verse number 2, verse number 5, and verse number 12. Verse number 2, he caused Ezekiel to pass by and inspect the condition of all of the dry bones. Here, God tells Ezekiel, you are to prophesy and say, surely I, God, will cause breath to enter into you. Again, the reason we are looking at this passage is what happens when God breathes. What happens when God breathes into humanity? What happens when God breathes into his word? What happens when God breathes into a graveyard or a boneyard? He says, I'm going to cause breath to enter into you. You say, well, that's just totally beyond the realm of reasonableness. And I said, what makes that any more unreasonable than God breathing into a pile of dust and man becoming a living being that has existed for thousands of years? There's no difference. You see, it's not in the condition of the material that God breathes into. It is the fact that God is breathing into that. God can make the inanimate animate. And so he said, I'm going to make it happen. I'm speaking to you. I'm prophesying to you that this is what is going to happen. The breath of God is going to enter into you. You know, the day of Pentecost is coming up here, the last Sunday in May here, and a lot of people look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit and think that the Holy Spirit will just be poured out upon people inside the church house. And as long as God, the Holy Spirit, you know, behaves real well and stays inside the church house, that it's just going to be church folk that are going to be impacted by it. But you need to go back and look at the word in Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament, because the prophecy in the Old Testament and the fulfillment in the New Testament says that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. Young men, young women, old men, old women, young men, young women, everybody has the same access to the Holy Spirit coming, convicting them of their sins, leading them to Jesus Christ, and then be baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing so that they can accomplish the God-ordained purposes that were theirs from before the foundation of the world. Peter would go on and say to those who were there who were saying, brethren, what do we need to be saved? He says, look, this promise is for you, for your children, and for all those that are far off. So he says, I will cause breath. I'm going to make it happen. The breath is going to enter into you. It's not going to be anything that you do at that point in time. And you are going to be transformed. You are going to be resurrected, if you will. You are going to be made to live. When the breath of God enters into you, you shall live. this is not just on a humanity level. This is not just on a group level, but it is of such a nature that God will speak life into your situation on a personal basis. We saw that in Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. He says, but I'm not just going to cause you to live in your exposed, decayed condition. I'm going to cause my breath to enter into you. You shall live. When God says you're going to live, you're going to live. When Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full, or have it to the uttermost, he means he's able to make that happen. He says, I'm going to put sinews on you, and I'm going to bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. So there's breath that comes into the bones. There's all of a sudden this vitality. And he says, you're going to live, and I'm going to not only cause you to live in the condition you see yourself now, but I'm going to put muscles in place where muscles need to be, blood vessels where blood vessels need to be. I'm going to cause the organs to be where they need to be. I'm going to provide you with the intellectual and the functional capacity that you need, and you are going to be covered. You are going to be able to breathe, and you will live. You will live. When God speaks, every organism in the world immediately responds to God's mandate for it, except for one. Man was given, in God's sovereignty, a free will. A free will that was exercised in the Garden of Eden, which caused sin to enter into the world, and man's exercise of that free will, even though it was through deception, and the rest of creation has suffered for it, generations of humanity has suffered for it, and power and control was yielded to the kingdom of darkness through man's free will, because God had given that to him in his sovereignty. A lot of people think, well, the things that happen, it's all because of God's sovereign will. No, that's not the case. If I told somebody, and this is why I don't tell people this, okay, you can paint the sanctuary of Merit Assembly of God, I'm the pastor, you can paint the sanctuary. I said, well, what color do you want the sanctuary painted? I don't care. You choose the color. If I make that choice to leave the options of color to other people, and then they choose some neon purple, that may not be my choice. And we would paint over it again, but we would probably have to paint it a couple of times to cover up neon purple. That's why we don't leave choices like that to people who made there are some color choices that I've seen in churches that it's like, no, I'm not feeling that nearly as much as they were. God in his sovereignty said, I'm looking for a people who will choose to serve me, who will choose everything that I want, choose to do my will, and choose to delight in me. So he says, you shall live. Verse number 6 concludes like this. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, verses 4 through 6 are all about Ezekiel's instructions. God is telling him what to say. He hasn't acted upon it yet, because God still got him in the receiving mode. He's not got him in the message dispersing mode yet. He's still receiving the message that God has. So this statement is still part of the prophecy and the purpose of the prophecy. The purpose of the prophecy was not just to change the condition of the bones. The purpose of the prophecy wasn't just to do something in the history of mankind that had never been done before. God always acts with a purpose. We may not know what that purpose is. The purpose of the prophecy is revealed here at the end of verse number 6. Chapter 37, verse number 6. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The purpose of prophecy is to summon people out of their detached relationship from God. The Bible says the soul that sinneth it shall die. The purpose of prophecy is to summon people back into relationship with God. That you would know, that you would have a personal experience, you would be fully aware that God is on the throne when things are going well, when things are not going well, when things are happening that make you happy, when things are happening that are causing you distress. God is still God. A lot of people want to blame God when something bad happens, and they want to forget about him when something good happens. God says, the situation you find yourself in, I'm the only one that can change it. I'm the one who wants to change it. I have the power to change it, and I'm going to change it so that you will know that I am the Lord. There are a lot of people looking for a lot of reasons why not to believe. And they will mask that up. They will ask all sorts of questions and all sorts of anecdotal, and they'll become angry and upset and all of that sort of stuff. And they're not looking for a reason to believe. They're looking for a reason not to. God says, I'm able to show you, I'm able to demonstrate that I am the ultimate authority, that I can do things that no other individual can do or ever will be able to do. I'm God, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me in my might, my power. I want you to know me in truth. I want you to know that I am the way, the truth, the life. And I want you to know me personally. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. God wants you to know him, and he's done all this to make that possible. See you Monday right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Stars that light the night, but how much more we are.